You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last night, hundreds gathered outside the General Library at the University of Auckland to rally in support of students in Palestine. The action was inspired by and in solidarity with students and campuses across the United States. Thousands of US students have set up encampments to protest their university and government's role in supporting Israel to carry out a genocide in Gaza. I spoke to one of the leaders of the action in Tāmaki Makaurau, Leanne Khalil. I started by asking her to describe student justice for Palestine.
Kia ora, my name's Leanne and I'm the co-president of Students Justice for Palestine, SJP for short, which is a club on campus. We advocate for Palestinian rights and just foster a sense of community for students, engaged in the Palestinian rights movement.
And why did students rally in support of Palestine yesterday?
So yesterday was mainly a solidarity, sort of we started off as an encampment, but then, you know, uni said no, so we had to turn it into a rally. First, in solidarity with the students in Gaza who have been stripped away from their education rights due to the ongoing genocide. And then second, in solidarity with all the students who are camping on campus. A lot of them have been unrightfully arrested and expelled, so we were standing in solidarity with them.
And can you talk a little bit more about the response from the university to the proposed encampment?
Yeah, so there was an email that has gone relatively public. The Vice-Chancellor has requested that we don't do an encampment on uni and that they will not tolerate any encampment on campus. It was not very well received. A lot of people didn't really like it. A lot of people thought it was just not rightful. We did have a couple lecturers and sort of people who work for the university who have reached out sort of in support that if we want to go ahead with an encampment that they would be there for us and sort of do open letters and things like that. So that the support has been really good. In terms of, you know, us as a club on campus, we do have the responsibility of complying with code of conduct. So because the email was sent out really late, really last minute, we kind of had to make the quick decision to change it into a full-day event of solidarity, which pretty much achieved what we would have achieved in a one-night solidarity encampment as well.
What was the turnout like for the rally? Were there more students, do you think, because they'd seen the email from Dawn Freshwater and were probably quite annoyed about it?
Yeah, no, there was a few hundred, I'd say about 200 to 300 people. A lot of them were students.
I was going to say, I reckon, like, before the rain hit, I reckon it would have been close to 500.
Yeah. If you say so. I mean,
I've gone to, like, quite a few protests, and, yeah, I reckon 200, 300 would be, like, the minimum.
Interesting. Okay, maybe I have bad visuals, but, you know, standing in a corner, I was just kind of busy with logistics.
There were lots of people hidden in the library behind, lots of people joining in and observing, so it didn't have been quite big.
That's good to go. Lovely. That was great. definitely a good amount of students. A lot of people who, you know, potentially didn't even know about it were walking by, and we occupied the whole area outside the University of Auckland's General Library, and as we know, that's a central location, so I think it was really, really well.
Did you get much response from AUSA, the Student Association?
Nothing in regards to the encampment sort of thing. In the beginning, around 7th of October, they had their statement, you know, being very neutral, two sides, all that sort of things, which we absolutely condemned.
And can we expect a longer encampment in the future?
Potentially. The university does want to work with us to facilitate events. Not sure how they respond for an encampment. We do have to sort of, to an extent, comply with the University of Auckland's code of conduct just in relation to maintain our registrations and fundings and all these sort of things. However, potentially community groups could be looking into encampments and things like that.
And partly some of it is the protests is actually against the university itself, right? Like, it's mostly solidarity protests, but there are some areas where the university could be divesting from organisations that support Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of our demands, which we didn't make very public yet, just because we're still narrowing down and specifying them, but there are sort of some funding organisations that fund the university and fund Israeli institutions, so our demands would be to kind of boycott these and boycott Israeli academics and so on. But we'll have a very set strict list of demands very, very soon.
I also spoke to Yale University student Andre Faoso about the protests on the ground in the United States. Andre is a former Wire host and has been reporting on the events for the Yale Daily News. We spoke about the reports of both police violence against protesters and anti-Semitism from protesters and the goals and demands of the striking students. It comes as college presidents, including the Yale presidents, have been summoned to Congress to speak on the anti-Semitism on campuses. Here is that interview. So can you start by describing what's happening at Yale?
Well, over the past 2 weeks, we've seen quite increased campus protests. Granted, it did start originally shortly following the October 7th attack that Hamas led on Israel. But after that, when Israel launched their attack on Gaza, there were numerous cries from students here at Yale. First of all, to alleviate the conflict that's happening in Gaza, calling for the ceasefire and for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, and to prevent and to stop the deaths of innocent Palestinian women, children, and families in Gaza. But over recent weeks, there's been increasing demands from a coalition of students called Occupy Beinecke, which was the original one, and then Yalies for Palestine as well. They're like, it's a student-led coalition of both Palestinian and other students in the Yale student body and from the diaspora that have come together in order to demand that Yale divest from weapons manufacturing. So additional context to that, Yale has a $50 billion endowment. It's the second richest college in the world, second to Harvard. And as a result, to maintain that wealth and to continue to perpetuate their wealth, they invest. So the Yale Trust, or the Yale Corporation, is in charge of managing Yale's endowment funds. And first of all, the demands have been from Yalies for Palestine has been for Yale to disclose what their investments are, where they're investing their money, and who they're investing their money with. And there is current knowledge that they do invest in weapons manufacturers such as Lockheed Martin, which do provide weapons to the Israeli government that have been used on innocent civilians in Gaza. So that has been at the core of the demands that these protesters have been making. Last week, there was an occupation in the center of our campus. There was around 100 to 140 people at the center of the organization, of the organized occupation. But it grew. The students at Yale all came together, and definitely during the evenings, there'd be moments of song, of chants. And also within the context of like what's happening here at Yale in terms of like just the microcosm itself, there's currently a leadership transition between Yale's presidents. So there's been increasing pressure on both the current administration and the following administration that is to come in the following weeks to divest and to implement steps to divestment from weapons manufacturers.
Online, we've seen footage of police attacking students, of police arresting faculty members as well. Has any of that happened at Yale, or can you describe the mood at the protests on the ground?
I would say that the protests have been largely peaceful, and I would say as well that the way that the media has portrayed this, particularly the mainstream media, away from campus news outlets, has portrayed these protests to be a lot more violent than what they actually are. I would say from what I've seen and I've attended a lot of the sessions, I've bared witness to a lot of the chants and a lot of the protests themselves, no violence, no damage to property. And even in the face of counter protests, pro-Palestinian protesters have remained peaceful. They haven't remained violent. And there's been, I'd say, a preservation of the right of, first of all, Americans, but then also college students to freely express their beliefs and their perspectives. So I'd say even though at times it appeared tense, it has been peaceful. There were arrests in the original occupation that happened at the center of campus. 47 Yale students were arrested, I believe, as a result of that occupation. But they were given ample warning before they were told that they were going to be arrested. And it was already well known that the Yale police and also the New Haven police, which is the wider police body that governs this area, this city that Yale is situated in, they gave them multiple warnings that they were going to be arrested if they did not leave. But granted, there has been a large police response and a large police presence here on campus. And I would say in some instances, there has been like moments of suppression and deliberate placement of police to intimidate, but then also suppress students' ability to protest and freely express themselves. But compared to the scenes that we've seen about an hour south at Columbia University, but then also in universities further west and further south as well, I'd say Yale's protests and occupations have not been violent.
Are Yale students inspired by the other occupations, especially Columbia, since it's so close by?
Absolutely. I think originally a lot of the momentum from Columbia had found its way here to Yale. And Yale was a school that shortly followed Columbia in its occupation. I observed, you know, we had a teach-in and we had like a short sort of occupation that was at the center of campus. And then the camp-in happened at Columbia, and then also the arrests happened. And from there was just a lot of anguish amongst the university community and also amongst like these elite institutions like the Ivy Leagues around the ability for students to freely express themselves. And so the protests that happened here at Yale were both in solidarity with the students at Columbia, but then also in resonance with what they stood for and what they were advocating for. Because I would say that what the demands of the Columbia students are pretty identical to those that are being made here at Yale. Granted, the response of the administrations of both universities and also the police forces behind them have been very different. And it has caused a lot of division in American universities. But yes, I would say Yale did, and Yale students very much resonate with the cause of the Columbian movement. But also want to emphasize as well that the focus has been on what is happening in Gaza, and then also the complicity of these elite institutions and what is happening there. Because, you know, quite frankly, and this is just repeating the calls from protesters, they know that the tuition from students here, and then also donors, and then also the general endowment of these wealthy institutions are going to funding this war that is happening in Israel and in Gaza.
Would you encourage students at Your Way and AUT looking to do solidarity actions to go ahead?
I think absolutely. You know, it's important for people to represent what they believe, but then also as universities, as a representative institution of what it means to intellectually challenge, but then also freely express your ideas and your beliefs, then it should be totally within the power of university students to protest and to express how they feel. You know, the University of Auckland and AUT are not shy or not inexperienced when it comes to protests. You know, they have happened before on AUT and UOA campuses. And so I think it is important that they do stand in solidarity with what is happening here in the United States, on university campuses throughout the country, because first of all, I think there are students in other universities that are being suppressed in ways which their right to freely express what they believe has been diminished wrongly. And also, I think it's important as well within the position of New Zealand's foreign position, international relations position on the conflict in Gaza, there needs to be a proper call from the coalition government to call for a ceasefire, but then also encourage their allies and partners to do exactly the same. And that includes some of the discourses, well, that reflects some of the discourses that have been had here in the United States as well on university campuses.
Well, have you noticed any incidents of anti-Semitism on campus?
I would say the short answer to that would be it would depend on who you ask. But I've asked, you know, Jewish friends of mine here on campus, and then I've also had conversations with both members of Jews for Palestine, which is a coalition that is in partnership with Yalees for Palestine here on campus. And I would say, like, there has been no blatant display of anti-Semitism at the core of the pro-Palestinian occupations that have happened here. Now, I wouldn't want to diminish claims that there are, you know, instances of anti-Semitism on campus, because I would say there are fringes where it could be interpreted as that. But granted, there is also a presence of Zionists on campus here at Yale that that want to try and antagonize the Palestinian occupation. And I would say there has been manipulation of some narratives in terms of whether anti-Semitism is taking place or not. But I would say as a whole, once again, this protest has been very peaceful, and the core focus of it has been on what is happening in Gaza, the Ivy League's more broadly complicity within it, but then also Yale's complicity in it as one of the richest institutions in the United States, the amount of power it has been able to leverage, both politically and economically, but then also how Yalees can represent the cause of Palestinian people, and then also call for an end to the conflict and the genocide that is happening.
That was Leon Khalil and Andre Fahoso on the student protest for Palestine in Aotearoa and the United States.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.